At noon on KSFR, now looks at the top local news headlines for this Thursday, June 27th. Santa Fe City Hall has voted 6-2 against that proposal to ban large-capacity ammunition magazines of more than 10 rounds for firearms within city limits. The proposal was brought forward by Mayor David Koss and Councillor Patty Boucher, as well as Councillor Ron Trujillo, who, at the last, withdrew his support. Some 70 citizens provided public comment on the matter, the vast majority in opposition to it. Santa Fe Police Chief Ray Rial told the Assembly he thought the ordinance would be problematic.
Mr. Mayor, Councilor Wurzberger, I believe, in my opinion, the way the ordinance is currently written, it would be extremely difficult to enforce. But again, in my position, I don't set policy.
I'm aware of that. I'm asking for your professional opinion.
I believe it would be extremely difficult to enforce.
In other news from City Hall, Santa Fe will terminate its contract with an out-of-state insurance underwriter offering residents limited liability coverage for repairs to water and sewer lines on their private property. The contract with Service Line Warranties of America will expire in January, and the city will then solicit new bids from other companies. The arrangement was criticized as a violation of the ban on use of public monies for private enterprise. City Hall has also okayed free parking for patrons of the Rail Yard's proposed movie complex. Payment of parking fees will be deferred until 2029, when the nonprofit overseeing the Rail Yard is expected to be solvent and free of debt. The nearby 10,000-acre Horoso fire continues to burn in extremely challenging terrain with no containment. Activity is greatest on its southern and eastern sides, with fire now encroaching on the headwaters of the Pecos River. No evacuations have been ordered, but nearby residents have been advised to make preliminary preparations. The Santa Fe Office of Emergency Management says smoke from the fire could pose air quality issues today in the city. Both the entire Pecos Wilderness and the Santa Fe National Forest are closed to the public until further notice. Meanwhile, our state's largest currently active blaze is approaching coverage of 100,000 acres in the Gila National Forest downstate. The Silver Fire is 20% contained with more than 700 personnel assigned. Smoke from that fire is today impacting air quality across three New Mexico counties. New Mexico's current insurance superintendent, John Franchini, has been unanimously chosen to keep his post as the insurance division becomes an entity unto itself come July 1st. That's when a new law takes effect, separating it from the state's Public Regulation Commission. Franchini told the nominating committee that his wife has resigned her job as an underwriter for the Independent Insurance Agents of America. The new state law prohibits the insurance superintendent from having a spouse or child working for the insurance industry. Franchini will now serve through December 31, 2015, at an annual salary of $101,000. U.S. Representative Michelle Lujan Grisham of New Mexico has introduced legislation in Washington that would prohibit tax-exempt social welfare organizations, known as 501c4s, from engaging in political campaign activity. This is the first bill introduced by Lujan Grisham, which she says will help eliminate dark money in politics by making spending sources known to the public. Under the current law, as interpreted by the IRS, 501c4s can spend up to 49% of their total expenditures on political campaign activities while shielding the identity of their donors. Lujan Grisham's reform bill would instead require those organizations to set up a separate, publicly disclosed political action committee. The city of Santa Fe may soon start drawing water reserves from our two reservoirs, said to be only at about one-third of their capacity. That's to ensure stable water pressure as usage peaks with summertime heat and the possibility that flow from the Buckman Direct Diversion may not be able to match demand. Today's New Mexican says the reservoir supplements could be tapped as soon as this weekend. Congressman Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico's 3rd District is decrying blockage by all House Republicans to bring forward legislation to address the doubling of student loan rates effective July 1st. Lujan is an ardent supporter of freezing the loan rate at its current 3.4% for the next 2 years. He says the coming rate increase would burden students both here in New Mexico and across the nation with an average $2,600 in additional interest debt. In the aftermath of the Supreme Court's decision that will allow residents of states where same-sex marriage is legal to access all federal benefits of matrimony, Governor Susana Martinez says she now supports putting a constitutional amendment measure on the 2014 general election ballot for public referendum. That approach was attempted in the most recent legislative session, championed by Representative Brian Egoff of Santa Fe. It failed, however, to make it out of committee. The Legal Tender Restaurant in Lamy is legally reopened as of today. It's been almost a month since a dispute with the nonprofit landlord shut it down. The judge has ordered a full trial to settle the issue, but a date has not yet been set. Meanwhile, the judge says the legal tender can continue to operate. And weather for Santa Fe. Sunny and dry today with near record-breaking heat. The forecast high is 97 degrees. The record is 96, set just last year. Tomorrow ushers in the start of rising humidity levels and a gradual cooling trend. Friday sees a 10% chance for isolated showers with highs in the mid-90s. Rain chances improve each day thereafter, with a 40 to 50% chance for showers by Sunday, with highs only in the mid-80s. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature is 92 degrees. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue with today's feature stories in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by Medlin Mechanical, a full-service plumbing company specializing in green energy solutions for homes and business in the Santa Fe area for over 5 years. Medlin Mechanical's geothermal and solar systems are designed to cut energy costs and reduce carbon footprint. And tax credits for new systems are available through 2016. To learn more, visit medlinmechanical.com or call 577-8087. That's 577-8087.
At Noon continues with our feature stories for today. We've heard in recent days of allegations that 15 New Mexico providers of mental health and substance abuse services failed to meet standards and overbilled the federal and state government by tens of millions of dollars. Joining us now to discuss the result of the state audit making those discoveries is Matt Kennicott, Director of External Affairs with the New Mexico Human Services Department. Matt, can you recap the situation for us and tell us what's known at this time?
Sure. Late last year, I think it was October of 2012 or so, one of our partners, Behavioral Health Partners, Optum Health New Mexico, brought us some significant findings from some desk audits and other work that they had been doing with a new tool that they implemented the first part of 2012. These audits raised major concerns for us, so we contracted with a company called Public Consulting Group, or PCG, to help us conduct a more thorough, in-depth audit. The results of that thorough, in-depth audit were released earlier this week, and there were some significant findings. To summarize those findings, you know, we're looking at potential overbilling of roughly $35 to $37 million, with some potential allegations of fraud there. There were some findings that showed that CEOs of some of these nonprofit behavioral health companies were paid excessive amounts, and their family members were perhaps paid excessive amounts as well. So the findings are very very serious. We have a duty as a state to not only protect how taxpayer dollars are spent and recoup any funds that were perhaps paid out potentially fraudulently, but also to protect the services that that we provide to some of our most vulnerable citizens. And make no doubt that these providers are providing services to some of our most vulnerable citizens. And it's about 30,000 people that they're providing those services to. So we, upon compiling those audit findings, as required under federal law, we turned over those findings to the New Mexico Attorney General. And he now has those findings and is conducting a law enforcement investigation.
And Matt, you mentioned Optum Health New Mexico. That's the entity that in recent years serves as the umbrella organization providing mental health and substance abuse services to state residents, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It works similar to the way our physical health works. They're what's called an MCO or managed care organization. So we basically pass them the Medicaid money, and then they contract with all the providers to help pay out that money and monitor how the providers are working.
And it was they who first noticed that something was awry?
Yes, absolutely. In early 2012, Optum implemented a new software system that immediately started to begin to flag some of these claims. But I will say, Optum has had the contract with the state since 2009, and they found some interesting items back then as well. So these problems have been occurring for some time, from what we understand.
Human Services Secretary Sidney Squire has said that as a result of the audit, Medicaid payments have been stopped to all 15 of the providers now under suspicion of improprieties. Are there any ramifications for the individual recipients of those services?
There should not be. These providers are required to keep their doors open under Medicaid contracts, and as an ethical point in the profession that they're in as well, they need to keep providing these services. Now, they can file with the department what's called a good cause exception to the Medicaid pay holds that were put on. They can send us some information saying, hey, we think maybe we're the only provider in town that can provide these services, so you need to turn the money back on. And we'll look at those on a case-by-case basis and consult with the Attorney General's office on whether or not we can turn the flow of funds back on to some of these providers. I know of one case where we've done that already here in Santa Fe, because the service provider provides services to developmentally disabled individuals, so we wanted to make sure there are no disruptions there. The other point I want to make about that, though, is we've got some pretty robust plans in place just to ensure that services do continue with very little to no disruption at all. We've got some other behavioral health providers on standby from out of state that can be in New Mexico at a moment's notice to help take over management of some of these companies if we need to. We can also have them come in and provide further assistance in billing to make sure things are going properly. Our partner Optum Health also has clinicians on standby in state and throughout the country that they can either bring in or have assist other clinicians in New Mexico on the phone. So we've got that resource. There's also a resource available in New Mexico called the Protocol Crisis Hotline. This was rolled out in January of this year, and it actually has a pretty good record of success in helping people in crisis. So if folks find themselves in crisis and they need that immediate help, they can actually dial 1-855-NM-CRISIS, or the numbers are 1-855-662-7474. That crisis hotline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for any type of behavioral health crisis, and there is bilingual staff there that'll help follow up within 24 hours of a call of initial contact to help assist anybody with behavioral health needs. So we've got those plans in place to help continue the continuum of care for these consumers of behavioral health services.
The Attorney General's office is now launching a full investigation. In the meantime, any advice to those receiving care?
Well, if somebody receiving care does suspect something going amiss, then I would highly encourage them to reach out to the AG's office or reach out to us, and we can take a report and forward that on to the AG's office. We'll take any reports of suspected fraud or mistreatment, and we take those seriously and definitely look into every case that we receive.
Matt Kennicott, Director of External Affairs with the New Mexico Human Services Department, many thanks for joining us here today at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Villon conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
22 minutes past the hour here at noon on KSFR. The New Mexico Economic Development Department has kicked off the Main Street Historic Theater Initiative. That's a program designed to renovate rural downtown theaters in New Mexico by upgrading equipment and making infrastructure improvements. Joining us now to tell us more about the project is EDD Secretary John Barella. John, what's this initiative all about?
Well, just about every rural community in New Mexico has one of these architectural gems in that. They all have these historic theaters, and the theaters that I have visited, and I've visited dozens of them around the state, are absolutely wonderful. The architectural work that's been put into them. Most of the theaters have been built around 1900 to about the mid-40s, and they all have just unique architectural features, and the architectural details are absolutely amazing. And they have always functioned as a center for cultural activity, social activity for these rural communities primarily. And we want to save that part of New Mexico history and culture.
And these improvements are not merely aesthetic. They have needed practical application as Hollywood has stopped distributing 35-millimeter prints and now instead uses digital format, yes?
Yes, that's exactly right. Celluloid is dead and Hollywood has moved to a digital projection format. And most of these communities, or many of these small rural theaters, simply don't have the funds readily available. It takes about $100,000 to upgrade to a digital projection system, including some of the sound system aspects. I have to tell you what happened in Luna, the Luna Theater in Clayton was fabulous. I mean, the sound is incomparable. The clarity of the granularity of the picture was fabulous, and that was a perfect example of a community coming together and upgrading their system. And they're going to be showing some of the latest feature films, including The Lone Ranger, here in the next week or two. So they'll be, just like the rest of the country, showing these feature films at about the same time.
And John, speak to the involvement of the EDD and local governments in terms of the financial wherewithal to make this program possible.
Well, the Economic Development Department houses our Main Street program for the state of New Mexico. It happens to be one of my favorite programs in our department. It's run effectively and efficiently, and what we do is we go into primarily rural communities and work with the local government leaders, business leaders, the Main Street programs, to find projects in these rural downtown areas to preserve history, do the architectural preservation. What we've done under our administration is to try to focus in on using the historic theaters as an anchor for rural downtown redevelopment. And these theaters can be used for their historic purpose, which is showing movies. Many communities have opted to use them as performing arts centers. Some of them use them as town halls and government-type meeting halls. And the key thing is saving these wonderful pieces of architecture and history in New Mexico, and that's what we're certainly trying to do for this program. And it takes a good partnership between government leaders, local business leaders, Main Street program, and, of course, our department helps provide that leadership as well.
And we've spoken today of the Luna Theater in Clayton, but the Economic Development Department has plans to expand the program into many more communities, yes?
That's absolutely correct. We used the Luna Theater in Clayton sort of as a pilot project to see how it works. And we were so successful there that we are now going to expand this, hopefully to three other, maybe four other communities and in their respective theaters. And so we've gone through a process right now of evaluating which communities and which theaters need the help, and we're certainly looking forward in the next year or so to announcing, probably less than a year, which additional theaters we'll be working with.
Economic Development Department Secretary John Borella, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Support for programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by LAM, Los Alamos County Airport, a tax-exempt organization now offering three flights a day to and from Albuquerque International, coordinated with the most popular daily flights. Start your journey at LAM. More information at flylosalamos.com.
And in a couple of national items regarding our neighboring state of Texas, the governor there has called a special legislative session in an attempt to pass an anti-abortion law blocked after a Democratic senator undertook a marathon filibuster. Senator Wendy Davis spoke for more than 10 hours on Tuesday, blocking Republicans from banning abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy and effectively closing most of the state's abortion clinics. Republican Governor Rick Perry has ordered lawmakers to return on July 1st, saying Texans value life and want to protect women and the unborn. Meanwhile, Texas has just executed its 500th prisoner since it reinstated the death penalty. Kimberly McCarthy, 52, who was convicted of killing her neighbor in 1997, was given a lethal injection on Wednesday evening. McCarthy was also the first woman executed in the U.S. for nearly 3 years. Since the U.S. Supreme Court has allowed capital punishment to resume since 1976, 40% of all executions have taken place in the state of Texas. Time now is 27 minutes past the hour. As we sag towards the bottom of the hour, it's our custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Have you noticed that you and others seem to be more relaxed and happier on the patio? Unless the drinking starts early and lasts late, then a few people always find something stupid to get in a fight about. So all these thoughts were running through my mind when an ad came on television for Pier 1 Imports advertising patio furniture. And I got to thinking, maybe I'd be happier with some new patio furniture, so I bought some new patio furniture, and it's all right here in my living room. A two-seater sofa, an Adirondack-style deck chair, and a big, beautiful umbrella, which I haven't opened. You know, bad luck inside. Although I do open the little umbrellas and the brightly colored tropical drinks I make for myself, and I do feel happier. And no, I did not put a wading pool in my living room. What, do you think I'm nuts? For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's Extended Noon News Hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk.